Welcome, everyone, to the Conscious Business Telesummit. This is Adela Rubio, your host, and I'm just feeling really giddy because one of my favorite people is on the call today, Wendy Y. Bailey, and we're going to be talking about masterful rapport, using NLP to improve, expand, and enjoy business relationships more. And I can't think of anyone better because I actually had some misapprehensions about NLP, and I've totally been turned by Wendy Y. So get ready, folks, because there's going to be loads of good stuff on this call. But before we get started, let's just take a moment just to line up our energy and our intention. Take a nice deep breath. If you've been sitting all day, just take a moment just to stand for a bit. You may be at your computer for the webcast. And on that next exhale, just allow your knees to soften, shoulders to drop, and kind of feel the ah in your body. Knowing that as your body comes more online, it actually supports your intellect so much more. And there's so much more of you that's available to feel, sense, and know what's right for you. And just create an intention that in this hour together, you're going to get the bits that you need right now to totally take your rapport, your business relationships to a new level. And you're going to be able to take this information. It's going to just sink into your body. You're going to so get it. It's going to be a big yes. And you'll be able to take it out there and use it right away. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale and just relax into the moment. Just imagine that we're gathered around, you know, a nice sectional or in a nice coffee shop. And we're hanging out. And really just having a really cool conversation that's going to move you and your business forward. So thank you, everyone, for being here. And make sure you have like a pad or a pen in case you want to jot down some things, because you will get some gems from today's call. So as you already know, I'm already bubbling here. I'm very excited to have my friend, my colleague, Wendy Y. Bailey, this is hysterical. I love it. The Coaching Commons, which is it's a premier industry think tank and journal, describes Wendy Y. Bailey as a force of nature and coaching trendsetter, and that she is. She's affectionately called Wendy Y. by her clients and her colleagues, and she's a master certified group coach, a certified neurolinguistic programming practitioner, and a certified experience coach. Wendy Y. leveraged more than 25 years of leadership and management experience and expertise, leading hundreds of teleseminars, live workshops, and small, large group trainings to create her signature program, Group Coaching Mastery, Master Group Coaching with an NLP Twist. She developed and leads the certifying process for certified group coaches, and using influence, persuasive marketing, and powerful language strategies, Wendy Y. helps coaches, speakers, and other training professionals create, design, market, and deliver profitable group coaching programs. She's the author of the book, Group Coaching Mastery, The Coach's Guide to Group Coaching with NLP, which is about to be published next month. And I'm part of her big book launch. I'm very excited for this. This is a long time in the coming, Wendy. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I so appreciate the introduction. I always chuckle when I hear that because I go, wow, I sound like I really know some stuff. How cool is that?
I was going to say,
it's humbling. You know?
It's very humbling. And in Spanish, we call it the papelitos, which are the little pieces of paper. And
yes,
you definitely have lots of papelitos, you know, lots of
little pieces of paper. I love
you've got all those pieces of paper that, you know, say that you know all this stuff, and you certainly do, because I participated in one of your programs, so I know that you're the real deal, and I'm very excited specifically about this topic and especially about NLP, because I know that folks have been hearing NLP. They may have even taken like a class, or they might have attended a one-day thing, and they've got all kinds of ideas about NLP. And I love the way that you use it in your program. Can you explain to us how you use NLP?
Absolutely. Let me just give you a quick scientific definition of NLP, and then I'll kind of tell you what it means to me and how I use it at Group Coaching Mastery. NLP, for all intents and purposes, is the study, if you will, the science of how language impacts the mind, and how, based on understanding that impact, you can actually leverage it as a tool to create more successful outcomes and results for your clients. So, I mean, very simple but scientific definition at the same time. There are three parts of NLP, and I always share this because most people don't really understand what it is. NLP is a huge umbrella for a lot of different techniques and strategies and things like that. And what I do is I use the simplest application of NLP that there is, because there's so many things. There are meta models, and there's a Milton model, and there's, you know, anchoring, and there's reframing, and there's a lot of stuff that falls under the NLP umbrella. Hypnosis, hypnotherapy, all of that is part of NLP. But when you really look at NLP, there are three very distinct parts to it, Adela.
Mm-hmm.
The first part is the neuro piece. The neuro piece basically says that the mind processes all information through our five senses, period. That's the neuro piece.
Mm-hmm.
The second piece is the linguistics piece. That actually identifies language in a much broader way. Language is more than just words. It's also pictures, it's also sounds, it's shapes, it's colors, it's behaviors, it's attitudes, and recognizing that the brain processes information, the neural piece, through the senses, and understanding this broader view of language or linguistics helps you to get to a certain coding. There's a pattern associated with how the brain processes. I'm talking faster than my brain is working. Actually, I'm talking faster than my brain is allowing me to speak it. The third piece is all about that coding. When you recognize that the brain is processing information through the senses and that there's this broad way of looking at linguistics, then you can identify a certain way it's coded or categorized and actually use that to challenge your clients to bigger results, greater outcomes, more specific accomplishments. It's a big definition, but it's very simply looking at how your brain processes information, and based on that, helping your people, your clients, your learners, as I call them at Group Coaching Mastery, because when you create a group coaching program, you're bringing everyone together to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You learn as part of it, your learners learn as part of your group coaching program, and it's a learning experience, not just an environment, but an experience. You're creating something really powerful and transformational. So my simple application of NLP is creating that experience for your learners. It's looking at how do you leverage pictures and sounds and images and behaviors and attitudes to create an experience for learners in your group coaching program. And rapport is a big part of that. That's what we're going to spend most of our time talking about today. Rapport is a big part of that.
Yeah, this seems like there's so much to it, and we could go in so many directions. So I'm glad we have focused it just to rapport.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go into that, I did want to address one of the misconceptions that I had around NLP, which to me sometimes seemed manipulative.
Yeah. I hear that a lot, and
mm-hmm.
the truth is, NLP is really a tool, it's a strategy, it's a methodology that's intended to be used for good. I always share I'm a movie buff, so I'm always talking about movies and using those as metaphors. In Star Wars Episode One,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, the Anakin Skywalker is a little boy and Liam Neeson is the Jedi Knight, they actually go into this junk dealer's place, for all intents and purposes, to find spare parts for their vehicle, their ship. And the little character is this animated bug-looking creature who's flying around, and he's negotiating, and the Jedi Knight is trying to negotiate with him. And he's waving his hand every so often, and at some point the junk dealer looks at him and says, "Oh, your Jedi mind tricks don't work on me. Stop waving your hand around like they do." For me, NLP, when you think in terms of it being manipulative, is that. The truth is, when you use NLP in such a way that it's beneficial for the people that you want to connect to your groups, to your services, to everything you do as a business owner, then you are totally using your powers for good, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all about outcomes, results, accomplishments, really helping your clients, your learners, achieve more, faster, bigger, better.
Fantastic.
So there's no manipulation in that.
Yeah, again, it's the intention that underlies the tool that makes the difference.
Totally.
Yeah, good.
Totally.
Good. So how does NLP help you create rapport?
Big question. Rapport is one of the four pillars of NLP. And let me go to my notes because I want to make sure I get these right. The four pillars of NLP are, first, rapport, which we're going to come back to, and I'll tell you more about the others later, if you like. If we have time, I'll go into more of those. The first one is rapport, and look at rapport as relationship. Relationship is what we're really talking about when we talk about the pillar of NLP. The second one is goal setting, and goal setting is totally about outcomes. And there's a difference, as I see it, between outcomes and goals. Outcomes are more about the experience that you're creating. Goals are more about the tangible. So with goal setting / outcomes being one of the pillars of NLP, it's kind of connecting the goals with the outcomes. Mm-hmm. It's connecting the achievements or the results with the experience to create something much more magical. Mm-hmm. Okay. The third one is sensory acuity. That's recognizing tools that you can use to tap into the senses in a much more powerful way. And then the fourth pillar is behavioral. And there's another word I think I missed there. It's behavior. Let's just call it behavior. The pillar of behavior is all about recognizing that using the other pillars, you can actually impact behavior. You can change beliefs. You can shift energy. You can do a whole lot using NLP as a way of doing, as a vehicle, as a method. So let's go back to rapport. When you think in terms of rapport and relationship is one of the key pillars that we're going to talk about today, everything you do is about relationship. So when you talk about using your powers for good, you're doing it because you care about the person with whom you're working. You're doing it because you have a sense of connection to them. You're doing it because you care about what happens to them. One of my social media buddies, and she's been kind of quiet for a while recently, but Sonyika Calloway Boyce is known as the TV publicity secrets lady. Okay?
I've heard
of her. She wrote a series of books on financial coaching. She's a finance coach, but she, in the process of promoting her books, got on a lot of TV shows, like national TV shows in syndication. She was on the Mike Juliet. She was a featured expert there on a regular basis. She's been on the Today Show. She's been on CNBC and just a number of different shows. So she turned that into a program. And she came and she spoke to my mastermind group. And what she said in that call was so profound for me that I've just been repeating it everywhere. What she said is, the turning point for her in her business was when she realized that she had a powerful message to share with the world. And there were certain people that were part of the world that could hear that message, and they could only hear it from her. So she realized in that moment she had a responsibility to make sure that those people who could only hear the message that they really and truly needed to hear, that could only hear the message that they really and truly needed to hear from her, heard it from her. It said a lot about the mission that she had at that point, the responsibility, the level of support and compassion she had to have. You know, it's like, would you turn a homeless person away if you knew that the food you have is the food that would save their life in that moment?
Yeah.
When you think of rapport in that way, that means you've got to be able to go through the trenches with the learners in your groups, with the clients that come to you or even entertain your services. You've got to go through some real stuff with them to make sure you're serving them. And you've got to have rapport in order to do that. When you have rapport, you can talk to your clients, your learners about anything, because your come from is very different. Do you get that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why rapport is so important. And we're going to get into some ways that you build rapport as well. You want to do that?
Yeah, actually, that feels like the next. That was my next question. So you're right ahead of me, Wendy.
Well, and you know, I sent you. I'll tell you. I sent you some information, and I'm going to kind of go off script a little bit, if that's all right with you.
Oh, absolutely. I love off script.
Yeah. I thought you might. Because rapport is all about connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, I said it's about relationship, but sometimes people see relationship and connection as a little bit differently. I know the people who are part of this telesummit get what I mean when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
Let me drive it home by telling you that there are seven ways, my favorite ways, to connect with people creatively. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the connection is what your rapport is all about. The first way is the senses, through the senses. It's totally directly tied to NLP, and this is a simple application that I love to use. It's recognizing that we all learn, we all process, and there's a way for you to process when you look at sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. Those are the five senses. So connecting with people through the senses is all about recognizing language. Remember that broader definition of linguistics and language, recognizing images that tap into sights and sounds and smells and tastes and feelings. Because touch is also, it's external as in you physically touch something,
mm-hmm.
but it's also internal, the feelings that you generate. And I know you do a lot of energy work, so it's looking at the energy that you're putting out there to tap into those senses, the sight, the sound, the smell, the taste, the touch, the feelings associated with it. I talk a lot about experience and recognizing how you create an experience around everything that you do for your learners and for your clients and everyone you come in contact with in business.
Mm-hmm.
When you focus on the senses as a almost like a target, if you will, I want to tap into your sight. So in my the sense of sight. So in my what I say to you in a teleseminar or what I say to you on a telesummit like this or what I say to you in a live speech is all about painting pictures for you so
right.
that you can see what I'm saying, even if it's just in your mind. That's why I love to tell stories. I love metaphors. It's so important for you to paint a picture for the visual learner. In the same way, if you've got someone who really thrives on hearing certain things, you want your words to be conducive to that. You want to use words that help them hear what you're saying in a really powerful way. Okay? When you are talking about, and I use this one a lot, when you're talking about someone who is more of a taste person,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think because at one point in my life I was a really big girl. Like, I'm still a big girl, but I was a really big girl at one point in my life not that long ago. I'll just whisper that. What I found was there was this whole taste thing going on. So I was always talking about how something was yummy, and I still do, or something was toasty, or something was tasty, or something was really delicious or
mm-hmm.
delectable. So tapping into your learners who are taste people like me means using those kind of words and painting pictures of stories and helping them to taste the experience. Years ago, it's actually been a couple of years ago, I used to be a Today Show junkie.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is I would get up in the morning and I would make sure I had my coffee and the Today Show was on when I started my day, and it would be on while I was working until it went off at 9 o'clock. I think now it goes off at 10. But one of the segments they had on the show was they were talking about food, and they coined I'm assuming it was a new word because, you know, multitasking, I didn't get the whole story, but the word was umami. They were talking about foods that are umami, and the definition of that is they're savory, they're sweet, they're rich, they're bitter, they have such rich flavor that they pinned a word to it, umami.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think about what you're going to say, what you're going to do, how you're going to craft strategies, exercises, assignments, experiences with the people with whom you do business. terms of the senses is about recognizing those opportunities for taste, for smell. We didn't go into smell much, but you get the idea. If I said something to you about bread baking, all of a sudden people are going, ooh, I smell the bread. Or if I said, do you smell popcorn? People really get what popcorn smells like in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Or coffee.
Or coffee, yeah. Love the aroma of a nice, rich Colombian blend. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's recognizing your opportunities in business to tap into those senses. And feelings, to me, are a big way of doing that. Take someone to the brink and even sometimes over into the experience that you want them to know in order for them to get the full benefit of what you're trying to share. I love the way you opened up this particular call by saying, feel it in your body. Set the intention for what you want out of this and that you're going to get something really magical out of this. Now, some of these are my words,
mm-hmm.
but you created the experience. You set the tone for the experience just by going through that little visualization before we actually started our call. That's really connecting with people through the senses. That's energy work.
Absolutely.
It's totally energy work. And that's what the feeling or tactile part of it, appealing through the senses, is all about. Now, I said a lot about the senses because that's kind of where I thrive when it comes to group coaching mastery. I thrive on talking about the senses and creating the experience. But some of the other six, total of seven, are just as powerful, if not more. And they're kind of incorporated into the senses. You just dig a little deeper.
Mm-hmm.
The second one I want to talk about is straightforward honesty. You connect to your learners, to your clients, using straightforward honesty. People want to know that you are totally human. And that means you cry, you laugh, you recognize your imperfections, you keep going through whatever it is, and they love you anyway, and you love yourself anyway, and you can laugh at yourself in the midst of whatever it is. Prime example, and Adela's going to laugh when I say this, it has been a delight being part of this experience. I know that I have not been the easiest person over the last couple of months to get this stuff together because I've been so slammed with everything. And so I called you and I said, do you still love me? Am I still in? Am I still a part of this? That is so me. That's not me using manipulation. That's me going, I know I screwed up, Adela. I know that there were things I was supposed to get you weeks ago that I haven't. Are we still friends? And you just laughed at me. And you said, of course we are. Honey, I know how it is. Everything is all good. Straightforward honesty is a great way to connect with the people with whom you work in business. Because we're human.
Yeah.
And I love that we are so human. Now, the other side of that is when you are in business and you are coaching someone or you are in a relationship that has challenges, I love the way you responded very directly to me. You said, no, honey, just get this to me and that to me and we'll be fine. And, oh, by the way, I need this, this, that, and the other too. So it's being able to challenge the people with whom you're working so that they stay the course of whatever you need in the situation as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's a two-way street. Straightforward honesty is about being human and showing your humanity. It's also about being able to challenge the people who need to be challenged when they need to be challenged. There's a certain kind of love in all of that, you know?
Yeah, there is. And your own freedom to be able to move to whichever one it is that's needed in the moment. And I think that when you were talking about the senses a lot, I think the more time that you spend in your senses, the more that you do recognize those straightforward, honest moments and when it is that you do need to challenge a situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. I'll tell this quick story and then I'll move to the third one. I'm a single lady, so I've been dating recently. I've kind of turned up the volume on this whole dating thing. Yes, in the midst of everything else I've got going on, I decided I'm going to, actively date. Ha ha. And it's like, are you crazy? What were you thinking? You know, put that on hold a little bit longer. But no, I'm single. So it's being able to have those kind of conversations with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a lunch date with someone recently, and it was the first time I was meeting the guy, and I picked the place. He didn't know where it was. I didn't give him my cell phone number. He had my home number. So he was literally riding up and down the street trying to find the place. And then by the time I ordered lunch and started eating, he came in about 30, 40 minutes into the time, after the time we were supposed to meet. Well, within that 40-minute window, I felt myself going, what is wrong with him? He stood me up, and yeah. You know, I was just, in my mind, I felt myself going there. And I sat there, and I said, no, you don't have to respond in this way, Wendy Watt. So I started breathing. I said, inhale, exhale, inhale, and I said, okay, remember that whatever happens, happens as it's supposed to. It's divine order. I'm doing some radical forgiveness work. I know what it means to look at everything as divine. And, you know, you have these conversations.
Oh, honey, I have them every day. Yeah.
And so I had this conversation. So by the time he got there, I was like, oh, hey, how are you? Good to meet you. Come and sit down. Let's have lunch. And he looked at me like I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not mad? And I was like, no. Why would I be mad? You know, ha ha. Why would I be mad? Everything is fine, you know? But, you know, I say that to say that you have to find those spaces for yourself to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And humanity is steeped in compassion. It's steeped in forgiveness. It's steeped in really being genuine with who you are and what's happening in the moment. Because notice, as I said, and I'll just finish this story up. Notice, as I said, he didn't write down the name of the place. I did not give him my cell phone number. So there were so many things that we kind of disconnected on that would have remedied that situation that we didn't.
Right.
And we both had a part in what happened or the mishap that ended up really being a nice lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Nice date. So look at your humanity. Look at your straightforward honesty with yourself first. And then you can deal with other people in business, in life, in relationships. The third way to connect and get in rapport is through memories. Memories. When you are thinking of memories, talking about memories in the context of a group coaching program, and I'll go there and then I'll go broader, you're really talking about helping your learners in that group experience something based on your specific topic. So, for example, I know that you do a lot of energy work, Adela.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the energy work, you want your learners to remember a time that's specific to some energy moment you want to create or replicate for them. Remember a time when you were a little girl, and when you were a little girl, you loved skipping up and down the street. I'm just making something up. You loved skipping up and down the street. And based on skipping up and down the street and, you know, having your friends join you as you skipped, how you felt during that time and what that whole energy felt like for you and the experience of that, take your learners to that place of memory, that to really tap into that energy again, because that's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do you remember a time? And when you're in a, I'm taking it broader now, when you're in a broader business setting outside of group coaching, you can always go back to that when you are connecting with your learners around, your client around something. So you may say, let's say you and your client are having a conversation about taxes, or you're having a conversation about a new program or a new service, and this is a repeat client, you may say to them, remember when we worked together on this program and how much fun we had and how much you walked away really knowing more about how you were going to conduct business? Remember This is about using your powers for good again. Your client is the homeless person who needs the meal that only you can provide in order to survive another day. So share the memory, take your client to the experience so that your client fully gets what is there for her to get from you. Memories. You like that one, Adele?
Oh, I love that one. I love that one. I actually do, I lead a writing circle in my community, and one of my favorite prompts, I haven't used it recently, and I'm going to use it next time because you've reminded me now, is remember when.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off a writing prompt with remember when, and the writing that comes out of that is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
Just that simple prompt.
Yeah. You're going to love the next one, too, dreams.
Ooh.
Connect to your learners through their dreams. I had the wildest dream the other day, and, you know, I'm not someone who interprets dreams, but I always wake up going, now, what the hell was going on with me? You know, I had the wildest dream. I was hanging out with the Obamas. And, you know, for some reason, there was a you know, there's a room full of people, and I was kind of the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a small child who was, they were concerned that the child was really rambunctious, and I was loving the little kid. And
mm-hmm.
I want to say the little kid was, you know, maybe two. That's mm-hmm. what I said. I don't know what was going on. We were not in the White House. We were in some really delicious old house that had large, high ceilings and walls, you know, that spanned for miles, it felt like. But it was just really a nice old home. And I was there as the babysitter. Again, don't ask me what that was about. But I was there as the babysitter, and I was having a ball with this little two-year-old that they thought was just a piece of work.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle was just surprised at how well her child, this two-year-old, was getting along with Wendy White. And I woke up scratching my head going, okay, what was that about? I don't know what that was about. Because sometimes when I dream, when I'm really in massive overwhelm, I dream about swimming.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm dreaming about swimming because I don't swim well. Like I can put my face in the water and you know, glide back and forth and backstroke and do all kind of stuff in the shallow end of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But when I get to 8 feet, and I'm tall, I'm almost 6 feet, when I get to the deep end of the pool, I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. I might drown. So my dreams are totally about, when I'm overwhelmed, are totally about swimming. And in my dream, I'm treading water in the deep end, and I'm gliding from the deep end, and I'm jumping off the dashboard. And I mean, not dashboard, but off the, what do you call that?
Diving board.
Thank you, diving board. I'm diving off the diving board, and I'm just swimming just fiercely and having a ball. So I know that for me, my dreams are connected to my overwhelm, and it's taken me a couple of years to totally get that that's what that particular dream is all about. The Obama one, I'm not quite so sure about. In the same way, you want to connect to the dreams of your learners and your clients. So you may take them to a space where you say, you know, when you were a little boy, did you ever dream that you would be in the position that you're in right now? Did you ever imagine in your wildest dreams that you would be living this life that you so fully love? And it may just be one little aspect of it, but take your client to the place of the dream that they are experiencing. Help them recount the ideas and help them recognize the language of the dream at that particular moment. I love talking about dreams because mine are always just so absolutely flaky. The thing that I've learned about clients and learners is that when you take them to a place of recounting the ideas in their dreams, they remember how powerful they really and truly are. They remember how yummy it felt. They remember how good they were and how whole they were and the experience of it. And that builds rapport with you in the work that you continue to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what each and every one of these ways to connect is all about.
Yeah, because when you have a connection with someone, I mean, you know this with coaching clients, that's when the real good stuff starts happening.
That's right. That's when you can go deeper, you can talk to them about anything and everything, and you love one another. You're in a love affair of sorts with your client.
Oh, you definitely. It definitely is a love affair. Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's totally two-way. It's reciprocal.
Uh-huh.
They're not going, well, why did she say that to me? I don't know if I like that. There's no judgment going on.
Yeah.
There's just love and easy peasy. And one of the new stories that based on the work that I've been doing with my coach, and like I said, I'm doing radical forgiveness work, is life's so easy. I'm off to the beach. You want the people that you connect with in business to feel that experience when they're working with you. Life with Adela is just so easy. I can't wait until we go to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
Or because of the work that I'm doing with Adela, wow, life is so easy. Now I can go to the beach. Because that says a lot about the trust and faith that they placed in you and the rapport that you've built, the relationship that you've established, and continue to nurture for them, with them. It says volumes about that. Volumes. So let's talk about the next way. You can tell I get excited about this.
I'm very excited. You've got me here on the edge. I'm taking notes, Wendy.
Good, 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 good. Now, the next way is humor. I don't know if you can tell, but I've got kind of a quirky sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit.
Just a little.
But I love to laugh, and when you laugh, your clients laugh with you. Make sure that it's appropriate and that you're in rapport with them. You know, you're connected with them around whatever it is, because you're always coming from that place of integrity and compassion and humanity about who you are in your humor. Humor doesn't mean you share off-color comments or snide remarks or you snipe at your learners and say that's humor. Humor mm-hmm. is really about laughing with your learners, sharing in the experience. I like to share this particular example with folks. I had a client, I've been coaching now, June will be 8 years, and when I first started coaching, I did a lot more individual coaching. And one of the clients that I was coaching was really, she came to our coaching session, she was really beating herself up about something going on. I don't remember the details now, but she was really beating herself up about it. She's like, oh, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I don't know why I didn't do the other. And I said to her, I said, wow, okay, so you've got nieces and nephews, right? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got a niece who's, I'm going to say 8 or 9, and my nephew's 10. And I said, oh, well, you know, what kinds of things are they into? And she told me about them being into something. And I said, so when they're not, when they have a challenge or run into an issue, what do you say to them around how they're doing? And she said, oh, well, I always encourage them because I want them to be fully encouraged and engaged, and I want them to feel good about where they are. And I said, oh, well, you know, what happens if they get an F on their report card? Oh, well, you know, I know they still need to be nurtured and they need to be supported. And I said to her, I said, so why would you have that kind of dialogue with yourself? And she just fell out laughing. She said, oh, you really got me on that one, didn't you? You really got me. And it was not intended to be comical, you know, humorous.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being that way because it was such an eye-opener for her that she had to laugh in that moment. And in future sessions, I didn't hear her beating herself up that way ever again. That's the beauty of rapport and connection around laughter. She said, oh, you just walked me right into that. I said, sure did. How'd you like that? You know, we laughed and, you know, shared in the humor of the moment, and she learned and she shifted and she grew from that experience. Because even when I talk to her today, she's not my individual client anymore, but we still stay connected. And when I talk to her today, she still remembers that story. She still remembers that experience. And it's because it was steeped in humor.
Mm-hmm.
Around her own self-judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Powerful stuff when you're truly in rapport with your learners, with your clients, with the people with whom you do business. Now, here's one that's a little tricky, but I'm going to share it. The sixth way is mirroring. Mirroring. Now, this is totally an NLP technique. It's an NLP strategy. It's a way of, I don't want to use the word, but I want to give you a sense of what I'm talking about. It's almost mocking with integrity your client. And there are two types of mirroring. There's physical mirroring where you are sitting like your client is sitting. Imagine that you are sitting at a reception with a client, or you're sitting at a table with your client, or you're sitting at your desk with a client, and your client sits back in her chair and she crosses her legs. Well, you need to sit back in your chair and cross your legs. And then the client uncrosses her legs and leans forward in the chair with her arms resting on the arms of her chair. Well, you want to sit, uncross your legs, and lean forward just a little bit. That's very natural mirroring. And underscore, highlight, circle it, natural mirroring. Because if the client recognizes that you are intentionally mirroring them, then you are immediately out of rapport. You want it to come very natural that what you're doing. It's a way of letting the client almost see themselves in your behavior, in your mannerisms. That's physical mirroring. Verbal and vocal mirroring is about matching tone, matching tempo, matching loudness, length of vocal phrases, and even accents. I have a friend who is forever teasing me about my southern drawl. And whenever he starts teasing me about my southern drawl, at first it's okay, and then I'm like, okay, enough of that, all right? Because, you know, he's from D.C., so there's no southern in what you say and do. Stop it. That's what I mean about it being natural. Make sure that when you verbally or vocally mirror someone, that you are doing it, again, that comes from out of compassion, out of integrity. You're matching the tone, you're matching the tempo. I have people that are part of my group coaching programs that have been part of my group coaching programs at times who talk slower than I do or who talk faster than I do. So vocal and verbal mirroring is about speeding up for the faster person or slowing down for the slower person or choosing my words in such a way that I'm in sync with how they learn and how they receive and mirroring them verbally and vocally. It's a way of creating some instant rapport when you are physically or verbally or vocally mirroring someone. Because people like to see themselves. They want to talk to, connect with, work with people who are like them.
Yes.
Very, very natural, very human characteristic. So this is about tapping into the naturalness of that characteristic, of that human trait. Did you have a question about mirroring, Adela?
Well, you know, I think that when I thought of NLP manipulation, I think that's one of the things I remembered. That's one of the things that came up for me, that it just seemed artificial. And so now I get the distinction that it's got to be natural.
Yeah, you can't intentionally cross your leg, uncross your leg, sit up, lean back. You know, people are going to say, your client's going to say, what the heck is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's just downright weird.
Yeah, you know, you're mocking me. Why are you mocking me?
Yeah. Yeah, but
you
it's just...
You want it to be just easy peasy.
Yeah, and it does, you know, you do see that in groups. I notice, juicy is one of my favorite words. I just had Michelle PW on the call before you, and she was talking about that's one of Lisa Cherney's, you know, part of her brand, and you talk, you know, that it's very much about, you know, folks who are into taste, and I use words like yummy and delicious and all that kind of stuff. And what's hysterical to me is that in the communities where, you know, that I lead or that I've been in, is that people start using those words, and I'm like, oh, this is so hysterical. And it feels natural, But it's a natural thing that occurs when people come together and you resonate with one another. You start taking on each other's language.
Sure you do.
Even mannerisms or things that you do. It just happens naturally. But in that context, you can feel the difference between that and something that feels artificial and orchestrated.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you guys follow me on social media, you know that I'm known as the How Cool Is That Lady?
Mm-hmm.
And I spell cool K-E-W-L.
Uh-huh.
And it's because I say it all the time, and I didn't know I said it until my VA from a few years ago, like 4 years ago, said to me, do you realize how much you say that? And I was like, do I really? She said, yeah, you say that a lot. So I went and I bought the domain, howcoolisthat.com. And all of a sudden, you know, I share all of the resources that I have around small business at howcoolisthat.com because it is such a Wendy Y-ism.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a Wendy Y-ism. Even Wendy Y is a Wendy Y-ism, so to speak. Because I used to introduce myself as Wendy Y. Bailey,
mm-hmm.
and one of my, this was when I first started coaching, and I was in a closed networking group, and one of my colleagues there would say, hey, Wendy Y, and it just kind of caught on,
mm-hmm.
and so I've just kind of carried it beyond that. Now, as it relates to mirroring, we're totally in rapport to this day because, almost 8 years ago, she started calling me Wendy Y, and it caught on. So I have a real affinity, a real affection for her because of that aspect of mirroring that she did. She gave me back what I was saying, even though I wasn't aware that I was saying it in that way about who I am.
Yeah, and it's these things that actually, you know, anchor us with our potential customers, clients, in our brand, in our business. I mean, everybody calls you Wendy Y.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, anybody who really knows you calls you Wendy Y.
It's totally true.
Yeah, so these things, these are things that people identify with who we are and as a part of us, and they create that natural connection. They're things that are unique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
without
wonderful. Wonderful.
And the last way to connect creatively is through natural and irresistible attraction. Through natural and irresistible attraction. It's a way to build rapport. It's a way to establish and nurture connection when you are confident, when you have personality, whatever that personality looks like for you. I always love to share this diagram, Adela. I want everyone to draw a circle on your paper. Draw a circle. And I want you to think of the circle as the bounds for the things that you manage, things you have control over, things that you are responsible for. It's your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the things that go inside the circle are things like your thoughts, your emotions, your feelings, your energy, your responses, your actions, your reactions, your behaviors, your choices, your choices. And yes, that is totally about emphasis.
Your
totally
choices.
About emphasis. Yeah, absolutely. And I view responses and reactions as different. Responses are well thought out. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath and think about how I want to respond. Reactions are knee-jerk. I'm just going to say the first thing that comes up and out over the tongue, through the lips.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reaction. So when you think about your responses versus reactions, it says a lot about how you show up in any dialogue. It says a lot about how you show up. Your energy, it's all about you and what you do to attract and create energy and attract certain things in your life, certain people, certain scenarios. If you got a lot of drama going on, look in the mirror, baby, because it's inside the circle stuff, and you've got a way that you can deal with that. You've got management and control and responsibility over that. Now, conversely, outside the circle are things for which you have no management, no responsibility, no control over. What do you suppose those things are?
other people's behavior, other people's thinking.
You got it. Other people's emotions, other people's energy, other people's feelings, other people's choices.
Yeah.
Other people's stuff. And what happens is, just by human nature and how we learn as we grow, we unfortunately find ourselves spending more time focusing on outside the circle stuff than we do on the inside the circle stuff. And that is where we have the most power. The most power. And whether it's inside the circle or outside the circle, an overarching universe, God, the divine, whatever you call it, has management, control, and responsibility over all of it. There's always our part, and then there's the part of other people. So when you think about this natural and irresistible attraction, it's standing in this place where you have the most power, where you get the most bang for your buck. Your buck being your investment of time and energy and thought and feeling and emotion. How do you spend your time every day standing in your power? When you stand in your power in every moment, in every scenario, in every business relationship, in every conversation, in every tweet, in every Facebook status update, in every blog post, in everything that you do, the true personality of who you are shines. Your unstoppable confidence in your power shows up powerfully. And that's exactly what you want, to be sure that you are naturally and irresistibly attractive every single time. I'm real passionate about that one.
Oh, I love it, and I love this. I love this illustration. I'm going to be using this now because I talk about this too, but I've never had this specific imagery, so of course you're like inspiring me here. So really standing in your power is just standing in your circle.
Totally. And the way that I believe you stand in your power, just one very simple tool that I want to give people is the language of intention. Using the language of intention. This is directly from Fearless Living, by the way. I'm a proponent of Fearless Living, Live Without Excuses and Love Without Regret by Rhonda Britton, B-R-I-T-T-E-N.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things she talks about is standing in this power. Now, the visual, the diagram is an original Wendy Y. But the thought behind how you actually stay there and stand in there, because it's challenging at times to be in that space of power. Really, really is. Sometimes you can feel less than. Sometimes you make up stories that send you outside of it, so you're looking elsewhere for something to change. Lots of stuff can happen that prevents you from staying in the circle, inside the circle where your greatest power lies. A great way to do that is using the language of intention. It's recognizing that you are always willing, ready, able, and choosing to be in a certain place at a certain time. Now, let me say that a different way. If I said, as I start my day every day, today I choose to be a powerful manifester. Today I'm well balanced in all aspects of my life. Today I'm willing to confidently express my thoughts. Today I'm willing to, with great personality, share my ideas and feelings. It says a lot about the power and my come from in everything that I do. That's how you build rapport. That's all part of the rapport that you're creating in any and every situation is standing in intention every day around every minute, every aspect of your life, every thought, every idea, every feeling. And when you can stand in that space confidently, assuredly, you don't look outside the circle. You don't have to, because guess what? Stuff is showing up in your life, and people are showing up in your life, and you're like, oh, I just love you. Please come more. Please, more. Because of what you're putting off and sending out in the way of energy and what you're getting back by being so naturally and irresistibly attractive.
Yeah. So actually, the initial point for rapport is within yourself, within your own circle.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And it just, you know, that's magnetic. That's attractive. It's irresistible. You know, when I find, when you first mentioned that, I thought it was like, oh, just, you know, people that you find irresistible is like a natural rapport. And that is true. That is true. There, you know, like I've always found you irresistible. Your energy was just always awesome. I'm thinking of someone who's who I've connected with recently. Another one of my speakers, Michelle Nerey, is like instant love. I'm like, oh my God, who's this guy? Where's he been all my life? I love him. You know, and it's who you are. It's who he is that is just so irresistible and magnetic and attractive that you want more of it. You want more experiences with that person. You want to connect. You want to talk. You just want to be more in connection. That is dynamic rapport, irresistible rapport.
Yeah, totally. And the thing that is so very cool about being naturally and irresistibly attractive, you don't work at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You don't have to. When you're living a life of intention based on inside the circle stuff, it's so natural. It's so irresistible. And it's like I said a minute ago, if stuff is showing up in your life, if drama is happening, if you are, you know, battling clients or, you know, not making friends or whatever the case is, look in the, inside the circle and refocus your intentions so that you show up in a different way, so that you're magnetic, so that your energy shifts to something less toxic. Makes a huge difference. Really, really does. And it's lovely when
yeah.
it does.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And you're
lovely.
Right, Adela. It's all about self-love. Everything that I've talked about is inside the circle stuff when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's how do you show up with your clients? How do you show up? What's your willingness to be who you are and focus on your inside the circle stuff to care enough to give to your clients, to care enough to be for yourself, to care enough to stand in the powerful you that is, to be smart, to be included, to be easy, to be worthy, to be perfect. And I don't mean perfect as this rigid place. I mean divine.
Mm-hmm. Divinely perfect.
Yeah.
Imperfectly perfect.
Exactly. In all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing about in the circle is that in the circle, the stuff that may be showing up there is the stuff that covers up your brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as you take responsibility for it, as you, you know, work your way through it or whatever it is that you need to do with it, you know, bless it on its way in, on its way out, you know, laugh about it, whatever it is that you need to do, then you start coming out more online and you become, you really do become irresistible.
Yeah.
And you're different and you're unique and you're different than the person next to you. And so your business is different and it's unique. And who was it? Somebody on the Telesummit. My God, we're on, you know, you're speaker, I think, number 17 now. But
yes.
And so many of us have through lines of things because we're in business, we're doing this work, and so there are commonalities. But the things that may seem to be these things that are just like, you know, glaring like, oh, my God, I don't want to let anybody know that about me. Those are actually the things that you do want to let people know about you.
Sure.
Because
that's where the straightforward honesty comes in, because people want to know that you're human, that you are imperfect.
Yeah.
Not so they can judge you. So
yeah.
they can relate to
you
and recognize that it's okay for them to also be imperfect.
Yeah, and we were talking also about, during the series, about how, you know, there's so much information and there's so many products and services out there. And what differentiates, what really attracts your people to you is you.
Mm-hmm. You're part of your brand, no matter what your product or service.
Yeah, so these elements that you're talking about in rapport are where you show up the way that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your brand of honesty, the way that you do that straightforward honesty is going to be really unique.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's natural. The way that you express humor, again, all of these things are going to be very, very unique. And it is all about connection. It is all about this rapport. Because as human beings, no matter whatever we're doing, if we're in a social situation or we're in a business situation, we want to connect with people who we can relate to, who we have rapport with.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Awesome. One last question, because I know we're over time already, 1 minute past, and I know that you've got a fabulous offer for my folks, but one quick question. Does rapport building differ in any of the different connection mediums, like if you're one-on-one, in a conversation, in a group, on your website, in social media? Is there any difference?
I say no.
Okay.
Just from the standpoint of what we just finished talking about, when people look at you, whether they're looking at you in social media or they're looking at your, you know, your email or your sales letter or your one-on-one or your group, consistency is important, because when you're natural, the consistency flows to all of those areas.
Okay.
And people want to see the imperfect, perfect you in all of those places. So, you know, I tend to tweet about and Facebook status and even blog about some of the stuff going on in my life, because it's so divinely perfect for me to share who I am, my personality, and connect it to what I'm doing. It's nothing for me to go to a movie and say, wow, what did I get from this? And share that I started out thinking one way about it, and then I learned something and share that learning with someone. It's all about how you come across in all of these seven areas, in all of those mediums, across all of those media. It really does make a difference, you know, because you're perfectly who you are at
yeah.
all times, and people aren't going, well, wow, she said this over here, and over here she's saying that, and oh, she you know, laughed at that over here, and over here she doesn't seem like she's laughing about it. You know, you are who you are all the time, so why would you not be all the time the way you are in all of those places?
Okay. Wonderful. So I know that you've got an offer, and I know you've got a really wonderful discount for us. Actually, it's not even a discount. It's you're giving us the physical product. Can you talk a little bit about Masterful Content?
I can. Masterful Content, how to create compelling and engaging content for your group coaching program, is one of my newest products. And it is a 5-CD set that includes transcripts as well as an activity guide that walks you through how to create magical metaphors, how to, you know, devise powerful questions for your content. I talk a lot about brain science and language of the mind stuff, some that I've shared today. There's a little bit more in there. I talk about, you know, the categories of powerful breakthroughs, and how you look at each of those categories, and based on those categories, how you can build breakthrough opportunities into your content. I also talk about evolutionary homework or evolutionary handouts. I'm not someone who believes in giving tons of homework or handouts. I believe that the experience that I create helps people going forward, and in Masterful Content, I show people how to do that. For your Telesummit guests, Adela, what I'm doing is I'm extending an offer for them to get Masterful Content, the digital download, as well as the physical product with all of the CDs and all of the, you know, the really cool binder with my you know, cute little picture on the front of it and all that kind of stuff, delivered straight to your door as part of this offer. This is available through Sunday. Isn't that what we said? Sunday?
Yeah, through Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, through Sunday at 12 midnight Eastern. When you order Masterful Content, you can go to groupcoachingmastery.com/Adela, groupcoachingmastery.com/Adela, and that'll take you to the order page. It's $197 normally for the digital download only. Through Sunday, you get the digital download, so you'll get it right away, and you'll get the physical product delivered to your door within 3 to 5 days. Usually they deliver it sooner than that, but that's on the outside, 3 to 5 days. So within the next few days, you can have both right in your hot little hands. I've had people to say to me they use it as their Bible when they're developing content, which is a great compliment to me. I really appreciate when people say that to me.
Yeah, and really, your mastery is the whole group coaching niche there, and I've experienced it. So to have a resource like that, so that folks can take their content and create a group program for themselves, is just a fabulous, fabulous tool. So, thank you so much, Wendy. It was so much fun having you
thank
at the Conscious
you.
Business
I
Tele Summit.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, and you'll have to come back because I'm doing some stuff on partnering and on groups and communities. So, I definitely want you
would
to come
love
back.
To.
Yeah.
Would love to.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Wendy. It's been great having you here. Thank you, and thank you everyone for being here at the Conscious Business Tele Summit. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you. Take care, Adele.
All right, darling. Bye-bye.